was a lot simpler than it is today. You just lived for the moment and God just provided. And yet today it seems like we hustle and bustle and scurry around so often. Christmas, 2,000 years ago, when Jesus came into this world, I tell you, everything changed. Everything changed. He dramatically uprooted the whole calendar that we broke time in half from B.C. to A.D. because of Christ. And if you stop and consider that, whether you go to China or go into Russia, go into very atheistic countries, they attest to the fact that Jesus existed here on this earth because of their dating system. You look all over the world, and no matter where we go in this world, somewhere is in this world, Jesus is celebrated. The birth of Christ is celebrated at Christmas time. I just was talking to Mike, and Mike was just saying about our troops over in Iraq right now, presently, that they're really having a hard time celebrating Christmas. Because Al-Qaeda is very much on the move, and if anyone has a Christmas tree or they sing a carol or anything that has to do with Christmas, they're a special target. And so our troops right now are under sort of distress and duress, even in Iraq today, because of the persecution of Christ and what that would mean for them. But Christmas is celebrated. Christmas within the hearts. And in fact, there's stories, fascinating stories of the Germans and the Allied troops and how they were fighting, and Christmas Eve came and the guns all silenced. And all of a sudden, they started to pass. You could hear Christmas carols starting to be sung on the other side. You were that close to the enemy. And they could hear the enemy singing Christmas hymns, and then they started to sing. The Allied forces were singing Christmas hymns, and pretty soon they started to pass notes and pass gifts, and they got with each other. They broke bread with each other. They fellowshipped arch enemies. And after Christmas was over, they went back to fighting. Christmas all over the world is celebrated. Who would understand, and I would have ever imagined, but even in a very Islamic world today, the United Arab Emirates, they celebrated Christmas. In the very heart of the Muslim world, in a glitzy hotel, they unveiled a 40-foot tall tree. And this Christmas tree was adorned with precious stones and rubies and sapphires and emeralds and diamonds and gold and silver and all the various wealth that they could bestow upon a Christmas tree to the tune of $11 million. Can you imagine? All over this world. Worldwide, people celebrate Christmas. A new study which was conducted by the Lifeway organization. It's a Lifeway Research. It's a, I believe, a Southern Baptist organization, arm of the Southern Baptist Church. But they reveal that 9 in 10 Americans, 91% personally celebrate Christmas. And they aren't all self-identified Christians. A majority of agnostics are those claiming no preference at all. 89% of them celebrate Christmas. Individuals claiming other religions across this land, 62% of them claim that they celebrate Christmas. And I found this amusing, even the atheists that don't even believe in God, 55% of them celebrate Christmas, along with 97% of every Christian out there that celebrates Christmas. Traditions are set in all over. Over the years, tradition has set in. From way back when early Christmases started to be celebrated, especially in Europe, and traditions started to set in. And in fact, traditions is giving over. It means a giving over, either by word or mouth or in writing. That which is giving over and over and over again, a tradition sets in. It's handed down from one to another. And all of us in this room, I am sure, has traditions. You have built traditions within your home, within your family. Over the years, that you do certain things. Every Christmas Eve, you do something. Or maybe every Christmas day you do something. Some of you may decorate your Christmas tree tonight. It's a tradition that you've gotten into. We all have traditions. In our family, we have five children, and all five children are now with their spouses, but they all exchange names. And prior to, usually around Thanksgiving, everyone exchanges names, and then when Christmas time comes, it's all big old lot of fun, who has whose name and all that kind of thing. So it's a sweet little tradition. Another thing that we do, the ladies of the house, I have three daughters and my wife, so the four of them always for many, many years. And this year, another little girl joined, our little granddaughter, Gabby, but it's a tradition of making Christmas cookies. And so they all get together, and they just carve out a day, and they just sit, and they have a good time. They put their little aprons on, and they look all powdery, and they all cool. But boy, do they make good cookies. They have the best cookies, all kinds of cookies. And then they decorate them with the fanciest icing, and it sparkles and sprinkles, and everything else goes on. But that's a Christmas tradition that we have. So many of us have those traditions, whether it's a beautiful dinner, a brunch, a breakfast, whatever it might be. And these traditions will likely live on for generations and generations, for our families and their families. But have we ever stopped to think about the traditions surrounding Christmas, a lot of the traditions that we have, and why we do the things that we do? There's a lot of traditions. In fact, Christmas time will bring us into times of television a lot. And movies. And movies is a big part of our American culture today with traditions. There's a thing called The Grinch That Stole Christmas. Many of you like that. I know some of you is, oh, yeah, I remember that one. And The Grinch That Stole Christmas. And now that little dog, I guess it is, with those tied-on horns. You know what I'm talking about. It just becomes a tradition that you start watching The Grinch That Stole Christmas. And who could ever forget It's a Wonderful Life, Jimmy Stewart, the old movie going way back when, and Jimmy Stewart and this angel that shows up, and his whole life was laid out before him, and wonder if you didn't exist, Jimmy Stewart, or, what would this town look like? And we've seen that picture that's played out on the screen. It's a Wonderful Life. We see many, many various programs and movies. It's Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is one that's always been popular for years. Frosty the Snowman. Elf. Okay, a lot of these are Christmas movies or Christmas shows that have built over the years. These traditions that you start to watch. You look at the many traditions around, but we build a lot of traditions around mistletoe and gift-giving and Santa Claus. And Christmas trees. And as I was looking at this, Santa Claus is really a tradition that came from Dutch. We see Christmas trees as a tradition that came from the Germans. The nativity scene, that's an Italian tradition. And the chimney stockings that you stuff, that's an American tradition. So you look at all these different traditions. But Christmas season, with all the trimmings and the wrappings that surrounds us, is often a very noisy season. There's carolers singing in the streets and on the street corners. We hear the squeals of children as they hurry to unwrap their presents. And oftentimes, there's Christmas season, there's great times of carols and Christmas music and Christmas songs that we all are fond to hear, the broadcast over the airwaves and played in our homes or in our cars. But there's also the sound of traffic at the mall, isn't there? And the sound of people, and the sound of shoppers, and the sound of impatient people standing in line, or commercials on TV imploring us to buy more and more gifts to help the economy. We see this pole and that pole, and, Christmas is often a noisy time of the year. But what's your favorite story within the Christmas story? As you look at all the various aspects that goes on in the commercialism of Christmas, this is a time, I believe, Christmas Eve, to start to drift back and start to put away all those things of this world and start to look at the great stories that surrounds the Christmas story. The birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. I believe that we, each of us in this room and in this place, we need to build those traditions. They are good. There's nothing wrong. In fact, the Scripture talks a lot about it in the Old Testament and building those traditions and placing special times to remember certain events that transpired, but they were spiritual events often. And I believe when we start to build Christmas traditions, maybe in our lives tonight, and around a Christmas tree, around your family, to read the story of Luke chapter 2. The nativity scene, the nativity, the time around the birth of our Savior coming into this world. As a mom or as a dad, reading that to your children is precious and powerful. They're looking at you, Dad, and they're looking at you, Mom, saying, man, yeah, this must be pretty important to them, for them to take time out and to read God's Word. Folks, it's important. In the midst of everything that spins around us and the stress that often over envelops us and overwhelms us, we need to relax and understand. And so to start to keep Christmas wonders of Christmas alive in our lives, in our homes, in our families. Very important to do that. And oftentimes, far too often, I believe secular traditions will build into our lives. And will begin to obscure the wonders of the very first Christmas. The wonders of what transpired many years ago back in a little town called Bethlehem where Christ was born. The birth of Jesus Christ some 2,000 years ago is a story, but it's surrounded by many stories. You look at the very first one that we looked at, in fact, here at church. There's 400 years of silence between the Old Testament and New Testament, and all of a sudden God showed up. He sent his angel into a man, an old man named Zechariah, and his wife Elizabeth, beyond age of having babies. He said, your wife's going to have a baby, and you're going to name him John. And that was John the Baptist, and God starts to move. And over and over, and then we see the angel Gabriel coming to a virgin woman, a young girl named Mary. He said, Mary, you're going to be with child. Wow, how can this be? I'm a virgin. I never knew a man. With God, all things are possible. And we see what a story that was. How an angelic being came to this little young lady, young woman, possibly 13, 14 years of age. He told her she's going to bear the Christ child. He's going to bear the one, the Messiah, who they have been waiting for. We see those stories over and over. I can still hear Mary wondering in her heart, how can this be? What in the world? No way. And then we see the story of another angel, the angel given into a dream to Joseph, and fear not to take Mary as your wife, because the child that's in her is conceived by the Holy Spirit. Wow. Miraculous birth. All these stories. Then the miracle, the story, the wondrous story, how Herod decided to tax all of his region and the whole Judea. And how the tax went out that he had to return back to your home country or your home city where you were born, and how Joseph and Mary had to go back to fulfill Scripture in the Old Testament, back to a city called Bethlehem. That's fascinating. As they went back to Bethlehem to be taxed while they were there, Mary gave birth to a child, gave birth to her son, the Lord Jesus. What a miracle on that 90-mile journey. See, Christmas story, the birth of Christ, encompasses a whole lot of stories that builds to a big story, the birth of the Lord Jesus himself. And then we see that the angel Gabriel again came down to the shepherds that was out in the fields watching over their flocks by night. And came to the shepherds, the lowly, the most lowest of culture and society. They were the nobodies of the day, and no one liked them, and they stunk, and they wasn't well liked at all. And how God sent his heavenly angels to them. And then a whole host of angels proclaimed the glory of God. And today, you'll find this baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger down in a stable down in Bethlehem. What a remarkable story. Oh, the stories, we could just talk and expand and go. And that Jesus was born and right where the sacrificial lambs were born. Bethlehem, only 5-6 miles from Jerusalem, they were the capital, so to speak, of raising the sacrificial lambs up in Israel, or that Israel, all of Israel used over in Jerusalem at Passover. So it was a special time that the Lord Jesus was born right there in that very place where the sacrificial lambs were born. We see over and over, and they hurried and they saw the Christ child, and then they proclaimed all around. And then we see the wise men who traveled from afar. We're going to see this on this Sunday, but the wise men came, and they followed a star for maybe many months, and they followed this star, and they finally arrived at the very, into Jerusalem, and ultimately the very house where the Lord was. And they came in, and they bowed down, and they worshiped him, and presented him with gold and frankincense and myrrh. See, the Christmas story, my friends, is filled with stories, with truth that we, there's so much, and we could just spend so much time on each one of them, and it's precious to see this. Stories within stories. These are the wonders to continually keep before your family and your children, to build strong spiritual traditions in your home, to understand the big picture that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Who can fathom that? Understanding that Jesus was not just some little baby that was born in Bethlehem, but Jesus is the very Son of God. He is God in the flesh. And the reason he came, the whole purpose was that he might give his life as the Redeemer someday. And he died for your sin and for mine. And by faith, by belief on him, by believing on his name, we can be saved and go to heaven someday. Oh, what a precious truth. The story itself in Luke chapter 2, verse 6 says, and it goes this way, while they were there in Bethlehem, Mary and Joseph, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him in cloths and she placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. This was the Emmanuel, the God with us. Jesus was God in the flesh. He was the only one that was able to go to a cross in payment for the sins of the people. You shall name him Jesus, the angel told Joseph. His name will be called Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. He's called Emmanuel, God with us. Who can understand it? Who is capable of theologically bringing it all together? It's beyond our understanding. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for the Christmas story. And then the angel, we see that she wrapped him in cloths and she placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Huh. Who can understand the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, God in the flesh, taking up residence and being born in a stable and then being placed in a manger where the lambs would just lick clean and smooth. That was their feeding trough. Then we see in verse 8, it said that there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, because I bring you good news of great joy, which will be to all people." What we see is the lowest common denominator, the strata of society, the shepherds. And that was heavenly announced to the shepherds that, man, there's come great joy. There's some great news and great joy to all people because a Savior was coming into this world. A person who was able to come in. And today we have a thing called Christianity that goes way back to the time of the birth of Christ and back to the cross. Thank God that we can know that we're saved and going to heaven when we die. And we see this great news of this good news of great joy. And then in verse 11, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. And this Savior, he is Christ. He is the Lord. And this will be a sign to you, and you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. The heavenly angels were just ecstatic because God now burst forth upon this earth to redeem you and I. It's beyond our understanding. And we see that you're gonna call him, a Savior has been born, and he is Christ, he is the Lord, a Savior. He's going to save us from our sins. But he is Christ, he is the Anointed One, the Messiah, and he is Lord, he is Jehovah, he is God Almighty. We see so much wrapped up in the truths here of this first Christmas story. Verse 12 says, this will be a sign to you. You'll find him wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Oh, on that first Christmas night in the fields outside Bethlehem, the silence was probably deafening. The occasional soft bleating of a sheep or the muted murmuring of the shepherds. Perhaps a distant voice in the village. You could just, it was a quiet, still, peaceful night. On and on. That first Christmas night, we see, I believe was a silent night, was a quiet night, allowing the shepherds to give full attention to the message of the angels, the announcement of the birth of the Savior. And as soon as they heard this announcement, they looked at each other and said, man, let us go down. Let us search out and let's see if we can find the Messiah, the Savior, the Lord. Let's go find him. And they did. He came into the world to demonstrate God's love for us. He died on the cross to pay for our sins. He arose from the dead to give us hope of eternal life. And he ascended into heaven to serve as our spiritual high priest. My friends, he is coming again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Amen. This is Jesus. This is our Christmas, the Christmas story, the Christmas message, all wraps within him. There's stories within stories within stories. Over the years, many have tried to debunk it. Many have tried to say that the story surrounding Jesus, a virgin birth, and all these Christmas stories around his life was not true. But no one has ever been able to do it. Many men have tried, and many men in their deep theological studies have found the truth of the Scripture and came to faith in Christ. Because they tried to debunk it, but now they came to faith instead. He is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords. Christmas is filled with wonders. Jesus is my Savior, my friend, my Lord. Busted time in half, he is the Christ. Be sure to set aside some quiet time this Christmas season. Set some time aside and start to reflect upon that Christ child. Some time to reflect upon God's Word. Who this Savior really was. Thank Him. Thank Him for bringing heavenly peace into this world. And heavenly peace into your personal life. And this world is searching for peace, but Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And ultimately, he will bring peace. And today, we see all the turmoil that's not from God. But he gives us that peace deep within our hearts when we give our heart to him, don't we? We come into that new relationship, and he changes us from the inside out. Oh, what a wondrous night that night was. That night so long ago. In fact, Jesus says, tells us in John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said these words, I am the light of the world. He is the light of the world. And in fact, if the men would want to come at this time, we can start lighting candles here, but Jesus is the light of the world. I would caution as we light candles, for moms and dads, watch your young ones, okay? Be careful. I don't want anyone getting burned. And also be careful. Try to hold the candles upright. Because you hold them upright, then the wax don't roll out. And it's really hard to clean up off the carpet and the chair. So try to hold the candles upright. As your candles are being lit, the ushers here are passing them around. It will be lighting down the various rows. We're going to be singing that glorious night on Silent Night. What a glorious night it was. The origin of the Christmas carol we know as Silent Night was a poem that was written in 1816 by an Austrian pastor called Joseph Mohr. On Christmas Eve in 1818 in a small alpine village called Oberdorf, it is reported that the organ at St. Nicholas Church had broken. They found that mice chewed into the bellows, couldn't keep air. Well, on his way home from church that evening, Moore looked down from a hilltop on the peaceful, snow-covered village, reveling in majestic silence of the wintry night. And Joseph Moore, he gazed down at the glowing scene, and his thoughts about the Christmas play suddenly made him to remember a poem that he had written a couple of years prior. It was a poem about the night when angels announced the birth of the long-awaited Messiah to shepherds on a hillside. The next day, Joseph Moore, he gave the poem of Silent Night to his friend, Franz Gruber. He was the organist at the church. And the melody for Silent Night was composed. The music to Silent Night was therefore intended for a guitar. And the simple score was finished in time for the Christmas Eve service at midnight. Nearly 50 years later, Silent Night was translated into English. And today, Silent Night is the most famous Christmas carol of all time. Just stay seated, I believe, would probably be best, right? Turn these lights down up here.
Please.